This is Victory House.
It's always good to be in the house of God. Good morning. Happy Sunday. You can say hello to your neighbor. Thank you for coming. We're excited that you're here. We have been waiting for you. You look good. You look nice. And greetings from Pastor E. I know he'll be flying back from Nigeria today, and he'll be in church. Well, he'll be in Chicago tomorrow. I'm sure he'll be in church next week, Sunday, by the grace of God. For a few minutes, I just want to challenge us, encourage us. It may sound like correction, but at the end of the day, we're just trying to encourage and steer everyone up to be more effective as Christians. You see, one of the things that I don't want you to take for granted is when you look at media, what happened, we all know Anthony Bourdain, and he kind of committed suicide, right? And it seemed like he had it all, right? He was living a life that it seemed like he had it all, but something was missing. I want to encourage you. It could be 30 seconds sometimes. Just say hello to that neighbor in church. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what your smile, your hug can do for that person. Amen? I mean, sometimes we focus on our own needs, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not about you. Right? We are supposed to be a blessing to others. Amen? I've started my message, just so you know. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. This is something that I like. I like this verse. Anytime I read it, it excites me. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have handled, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. So there's a progression. First is what you have heard. And a lot of times, let's start from there. What have you heard about? It could be what you've heard about Christianity. It could be what you've heard about a specific church. It could be what you've heard about a pastor. And then you form your own decision and say, okay, this is how this church reacts. This is how this is how Christianity is. So it first starts from what you've heard. A lot of times people don't move beyond what they've heard to get to the next stage of what they've seen. It's usually what they've heard, and then they build a wall around themselves and say, okay, I've heard X, Y, Z about this person, and based on what I've heard, I'm going to relate to that person this way. I've heard ABC about even Christianity and God, and based on that, I'm going to relate to God based on what I have heard. If you've heard that God, if you don't pray and you don't fast and something happens to your car, then it's kind of like it's a transactional relationship with me and God. We've heard that. We don't move to the next level. And then it goes on to say things that you've seen with your eyes. What have you seen with your own eyes? What have you seen about Christianity? Or what have you seen about that is in Scripture? Forget what the pastor is saying. Forget the messages you've heard. The things that you've seen with your own eyes, they can't lie to you. Those are the things that will jump out when rubber meets road. Amen? Those are the things. It's not what somebody said. Chances are you can forget. And I can prove it to you. What was the message last week? But you can, if it's things, not right? What was the message last week? You may have, okay. Some of us know, some of us don't. But my point is, if you have seen it with your own eyes from Scripture, it is hard for anybody to convince you otherwise. And then he goes on to say the things they've looked upon. And what are you looking at right now? That's what I want to ask you. What are you looking at right now? Wherever you are in life, right, whatever stage you find yourself, what are you looking at? Our goal is to be looking at Jesus. That way, we don't let man set the standards of our life. Right? Our goal is to be looking at Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that died for us. Pastor didn't die for you, or a man of God didn't die for you. Now, I'm not saying don't honor, don't respect, don't, yes. But at the end of the day, who are you looking at? When Jesus told Peter to come, he was focusing on Jesus. He was able to walk on water. The moment his focus shifted, he started to sink. Now, there are different theologies. There are different conversations. You can argue, well, at least Peter was looking at Jesus, and at least he walked on water. He took the step, right? Then the last phase of that is, what have you handled with your hands? What are you handling from the word of God with your own hands? How are you saying, okay, God, I'm in this situation, I'm in this phase, this is what your word says, and I'm going to apply that word, and I'm going to see the result. It is growth. This is one of the things John was writing. The things that we have handled with our own hands, I can't convince you otherwise. I have seen it. I have tested it. It works. I am going to continue to do it. That was my introduction. So the title of my message today is Effective Christian. How can I be an effective Christian? How can I be an effective Christian? Peter chapter 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5. Scripture says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective, and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen? So if we don't possess these things, and when I take a step back, you need faith to do a lot of things. I mean, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We know that. We've heard that, right? Even our salvation is, we are saved by grace through faith, right? But here's the reality. Why would Peter tell you and I to add to our faith? Why did he tell us? Because I thought it was, once I have faith, I can move mountains. What else do I need? Why am I adding to my faith? Why do I need to add to my faith? And here's why. Everything Peter said here is words that require you to act upon. Right? There are words that he said you should act upon. If you have faith and that faith is not translating into actions, I don't know what to call it. If we go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and the heroes of faith, every one of them in Hebrews 11, they did something with their faith. It was not just, yes, I have faith and I am not active. Faith is an active force. If you believe in something, you would act it out. If you don't believe it, then you won't act it out. It's just as simple as that, right? So Peter is telling us here that we should do what? We should add to our faith. And how are we going to do that? Essentially, he's telling us that we should give our faith legs. We should give our faith legs. You believe, yes. Then give that belief legs to do X, Y, Z. And if you're not able to do those things, again, Bible lets us know that faith without works is dead. Right? That's why Peter is telling us, look, essentially he's telling us here, faith without works is dead. I need to add to my faith. So now what does it mean to be effective? Simple. Adequate or equipped to accomplish a purpose. If I understand the original intent of something, then I can judge the performance of that thing based on what it was designed to do, right? So if I'm going to be effective, then I need to just align to whatever it is that I was created to do. This mic is, I'll let the sound engineers figure that out, right? But this mic is projecting my voice, right? And if it is not projecting it to the right level, then the sound engineer can, okay, look, this mic is not, then he makes some adjustment to get that optimal level whereby it is working at its peak performance. Amen? Right. So another thing, what does it mean to be effective? Producing the intent or the expected result. Simple. If I hold this mic, it is my expectation that as I speak, it amplifies my voice, or it captures my voice and then it transmits it to that speaker, and then the speaker amplifies my voice. That's my expectation, that this mic would produce the result it was designed to do. To be effective Christians, we have to produce. When you look at Christianity today, and we can all argue different things, if we were effective, I don't think we would be where we are today. That's the reality. If you are an effective Christian, now, I know we are all growing, and I get that. I know that you continue to grow in God. I know there's no arrival in God. But I'm asking, at the level you are right now, if it's two scriptures you know, two scriptures, eat those scriptures and leave them out. Right? That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to, because some of us are trying to quote scripture like Reverend George. That's another level, right? But my point is this. If it's two scriptures you have found in the word of God, leave it out. God says you should love your neighbor. I'm going to love this neighbor to the best of my ability. I'm not going to worry about the revelation when the end time is coming, because I'm not there yet. I've not read it. Right? Now, I'm not saying don't develop yourself, but the two that I know, I would eat this scripture and I'll leave it out. If we start with that, chances that we will continue to grow in our walk with God. Amen? So, what does it mean to be effective? And I said some of this earlier. All those things Peter said is basically giving our faith legs. And it demonstrates basic things. It demonstrates our trust in God. The first thing he said was, the first thing I have is knowledge. He talks about that you should add to your faith. You should add to your faith. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, he says knowledge. So what is knowledge? What is knowledge? There's information, which is good. But something that throws me off is when I see a doctor smoking, he understands the impact of smoking. He understands the risk that they are when you smoke. Why is he smoking? I don't understand. He has knowledge, but no wisdom. Right? Now you can go into maybe he's an addict, he grew up with it. That's another conversation. The reality is this. You know this thing is going to kill you. Your patients come to you. You tell them to go and live right. And your lunch break, you're smoking. Something doesn't add up. So knowledge is good, information. But what Peter was telling us here is the knowledge of God. That's revelation. Right? Scripture says, they that know their God, not know about, not haven't heard, they that know their God, they shall be strong and will do exploits. Right? So that's the knowledge he's telling. And we can grow in that. Nobody was born spiritual. Everybody that has done anything for God is a function of their growth in a relationship with God. Simple. Every person. Right? So Peter is telling us here that we should grow. Grow in your knowledge. The Bible even says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, right? So my point is this. The more I grow in God, the stronger or the more my confidence in the word of God rises. I think was Wednesday I talked about Abraham, and we see that projection. God calls Abraham. He was 75. Isaac didn't show up until 100 years old. For 25 years, God was working with Abraham. And in verse 18, in chapter 18 of Genesis, the Bible says that God was going to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, shall I hide what I'm about to do from Abraham? We see a relationship there. He had grown to that level whereby God can say, okay, this guy is not just coming to meet me for things. He's my buddy. He's my friend. We can talk. That's growth. Amen? So knowledge has to go from information. And that's why if you have knowledge, then there's lip service. Yeah, I know it. I know what to say. I enter a church and I can just say, oh, pastor, how you do this? I understand all the Christian lingo, but my heart is not there. I'm not connecting. Right? There's knowledge available. Now, I'm not downplaying knowledge, But in this case, to be effective Christians, we need to grow in revelation knowledge. And that's one of the things Paul was saying in Ephesians. He says that I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And then why do you need that? So that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which you have been called. If you're going to be an effective Christian, you need to grow in revelation knowledge, the revelation of God. God has to be real to you. It's not what anybody says. Because you alone are going to make decisions beyond what pastor thinks, beyond what anybody can see, that impacts you and that is a function of your relationship with God. That's the truth. God has to be real to you beyond coming to church. That's the reality for us to be effective Christians. Goodness. This is one that is quite interesting. So why did Paul tell us to add goodness? I can do something for you and I can perform a service and act. I might give you something. I may be there for you during a time of need. And for you, it touches you. But for me, I'm doing it because I want something. I'm doing it because I want recognition, or I'm doing it because so that maybe a pastor or a friend can say, my motive is not right. And God sees that. Goodness is a fruit of spirit. Right? It's a fruit of the spirit. So why am I doing what I am doing? It cannot just be based on works. Why am I doing what I am doing? To be an effective Christian, why am I doing what I'm doing? I'll let you answer that question. See, goodness does what is right and encourages others to do so. You're doing what is right and you're encouraging others to do so. There's a genuineness that comes out of your heart. Right? You are growing in that. You're no more thinking about who is seeing me, who is not seeing me, why am I giving this person? Okay, let me give this person something now because I know when meets what I need, they'll give me back. Right? Really. You might as well not just give the person. Because if you give me something and you expect me to give you, and I don't give you, now there's issue. So why did you give me in the first place? Because you didn't really want to give me. It was more of your intentions were not right. Amen? And here's the reality. People know. You may not know. People know. When your intentions are not right, people know. And that's why sometimes Christians easily rub off other Christians the wrong way. Because you may see that, okay, well, he didn't know, I did this, I did that, I've done all these things, but your heart was not there. God doesn't see the actions, he sees the heart. Amen? So how can I be more effective? Align your heart with God. Do things out of the purity of your heart. Paul tells us to add self-control to our faith. This is one that is very, very important. One of the things Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, he says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. He says, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Man, that's frustrating. Just a boxer just punching air. That's frustrating. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. He strikes a blow to his body. Self-control is important as Christians. As a child of God, you have to have self-control. The art of making your body your slave. You need to talk to yourself. I personally, I think I can go better. I can grow better in self-control in certain things. And I mean, you guys are looking at me like you have all figured it out. Praise God for you. Me, I am. This is one thing that talks to me as well. I can grow. I can grow better in self-control. I can be more disciplined in certain areas of my life. I can be more disciplined drinking water. I should drink a lot more water than I am drinking right now. I should work out more than I'm doing right now. Right? You can be disciplined. And it's talking to your feelings when they contradict the word of God. I have to have self-control. Amen? How can I be effective? I need to be able to control myself to make sure that my feelings, even if they don't align to the word of God, we are doing whatever God has said. I mean, I'll give an example of fasting. I remember when we had the fasting, and you just wake up and you're tired. When we had the 50 days fast, you're tired and you're just thinking, okay, God. You tell your body, today is you literally talking to your body. Today we have decided that we are going to fast. I did that. I'll tell the mirror, I said, look, we have decided that we are going to fast. And I learned that from Pastor E. We have decided we are going to fast. Sometimes it's giving. We have decided we are going to give this. Sometimes it's going to go and see somebody that I don't, when I look at my schedule, there's no way I can make it happen. But I have decided to do it and I am going to do it. And sometimes I make those decisions and I don't. God forgive me, I'm human. But that's why Paul is telling us, let's grow in self-control. Add to it. Self-control. Perseverance. A lot of times, we don't want to grow through the process. We just want it to happen. I just want to get to the end. We don't want to grow through the process. And that is where perseverance comes in. Jesus didn't feel like dying for you and I. Yes, he came to die, but he didn't feel like it. Right? But he persevered. He humbled himself even to the point of death. I'm a firm believer that starting is great, but the people that persevere are the ones that really enjoy the reward. Right? A lot of people start, but it's that perseverance. Wow, I mean... You know what, I'm going to start my own business. I don't care. I'm going to do my own thing. And you start it and you're like, wow, is this... They didn't tell us. Right? They didn't tell us. Whatever it is, you're going to have to persevere. You look online and you see that six-pack or you see that nice house or you see this or you see that. Or even see people that have used the word of God to accomplish X, Y, Z. Before you judge them and you think it's easy, just ask them for their story. They'll tell you. There were days that I didn't feel like it. There were days that I just said, look, God, there is nothing in me left, but I'm just going to keep going. There are those days. But we don't see that. We just see he started something and he's successful. But that in between, ask them for their story and they'll tell you. Again, Jesus demonstrated this. He didn't feel like going. I mean, he knew he came to die for humanity. He knew he came to die for you and I sins. But when Robert met Rhoda and was like, oh, the hour has come. And he was like, God, if it's possible, let this cup pass for me. But at the end of the day, he just aligned himself. It's not my will, but your will. And I think that that's very important when it comes to persevering. For me, I've tried to work out a few times. And I always use... So I'll give you a practical example. My cousin and I, we started working out, this is like years ago. And anytime I see now, I'm just kind of like, man, if you had just persevered, if you had just stuck it out, right? My point is this, you are going to have to persevere through situation. It's not going to come easy. I know you're a child of God. I know you speak in tongues. I know you fast. I know you can quote scripture, but that's just the way it works. You are going to have to grow through the process, and it's called perseverance. Amen? Otherwise, you stop, you start something else, you stop again, you start something, you have to persevere. It's a guarantee. Regardless of what you do, you're going to have to persevere through it. Amen? So you might as well just learn it right now. In this process, let me at least finish this one to the end. And then you start to build muscles. Peter tells us to what? To add to our faith godliness. Bible here, when we look at the, let me read 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. My goal as a Christian is to constantly try to be like Christ. I need to continue to grow whereby I am living a godly life, being transformed to the image of Christ. 5 years ago, when I first gave my life to Christ, I was always angry. I was always mean to people. Yes, I'm born again, but I was still mean. 10 years later, I am still being mean. There's an issue somewhere. Amen? Now, I'm not saying everything will fall overnight, but there's my goal is I need to constantly, and the Holy Spirit will help you with this, I need to constantly evaluate my actions. Is he Christ-like? Am I aligning to what would Jesus do in this situation? You know, you act, you know, you get in a situation and you say things that you shouldn't have said. Okay, you catch yourself the first time, catch yourself the second time, catch yourself the first. At some point, you need to take a step back. Okay, look, how do I be more intentional? Is it my friends? Maybe I need to change friends. Is it what I'm watching? Maybe I need to stop watching that. Is it my social media feed? If you need to delete some people on Instagram, it's okay, right? I need to, that's the filter. I need to set my filter to make sure it's Christ-like. That's the goal. That's what I'm trying to be like. That's how you can be more effective as a Christian. Another thing is mutual affection. This one is important. You have to care about people. We are in the people business. That's reality. It's people business. It's not about church in that sense. It's people. The Lord's portion are his people. It's people. It's people. It's people. Let's not forget that. Care about people. Now, I'm not saying you should be El Shaddai. You can't help everybody. It's only God that can be there for everybody. Amen? But at least show genuine concern for people. Have that mutual affection. Seek to add value to somebody. If you've gone through a situation and you look back, like, okay, look, I remember when I was a student, I struggled with this. If you see any student around you, nobody needs to tell you. Just develop interest in them. This is what I went through. Amen? Just show that genuine care. I think one of the things that you'll find out sometimes when they talk about, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but when I talk to different people, I hear that there's a lot of hypocrisy in church, that Christians are hypocrites, that they don't really love people. They just want you to follow their rules and things like that. One of those arguments is the fact that Christians don't genuinely care about people. It's, okay, just come to church. Just come to church. Okay, now we have 500 people in church. Great. And that person there is dying. Nobody cares about them. Right? My point is this. Just say hello to your neighbor sometimes. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and therefore we should care about one another. That's the truth. Just be there for people. Care about people. And then another thing Peter was saying is love. He says you should add to your faith love. And I think this one is important that we do. There's caring about people, but you need to show people love. He was referring more of the sacrificial love here. The same kind of love Jesus demonstrated when he died for you. And he didn't have to. He died knowing full well that some people would still reject him, but he still decided to die. That's love. That's love. It's not the convenient kind of love. Sometimes you do things for people just because you want to communicate, look, I'm in this with you. I love you. And okay, it's okay too to say no sometimes. Saying no sometimes is showing love. Amen? Because love is not this passive thing that everything you want, you can have it. Scripture, talk to God now. There are some times when you ask God certain things, he understands, he has a clearer picture, and you don't necessarily, he wants you to grow before you have those things, right? So sometimes, because I've seen situations whereby you know the person cannot handle those things, and I love my brother, I'll just keep, and you're enabling the person. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the agape love, the sacrificial kind of love, sacrificing for your brother. And sometimes it's okay to say no to your brother in love. You speak the truth in love and in grace. There's the grace part. You speak the truth, but there's the grace part to it. And that's love. Sometimes it's not what is both what you say and how you say it. Right? Sometimes you want to say some things, but you're like, if I say this thing, this person might not handle it now. God, help me deliver this message. Right? So why do we need to be effective? So Peter tells us all these things. And he's telling us to add to our faith, love, knowledge, godliness, mutual affection, self-control, perseverance, all these things. Why? Why do we need to be effective? Why do you and I need to be effective Christians? It goes back, when I go back to verse 9 of my text. So I read through verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5 to verse 10 is my text. I read up until verse 8. Verse 9 now says, but whoever does not have them in increase, whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So why do we need to be effective? One of the things that we need to be effective is we have to be effective to be able to accomplish our purpose. It goes back to the definition of being effective. If I am not an effective Christian, I will not be able to accomplish whatever it is God has called me to do. Amen? I need to be effective. Not just busy, not just coming to church, but at the end of the day, I ask myself some basic questions. Why am I just coming to church? I mean, there's nothing changing in my life. And nobody should tell me it's because the word is not being preached or I'm not being fed in that church. That's a lie. Your feeding is your responsibility. If pastor decides not to preach, are you going to say, okay, look, you don't have to close your Bible now. You can read your Bible yourself. Amen? And now I'm not saying that if the church is preaching things that are not scriptural, you should go. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of time we put the onus on somebody else. We're always looking to blame somebody else. Take responsibility for your life. If I am not growing, then maybe, perhaps, maybe, just maybe, for a second, maybe it's me. Because now, except nobody in that church is growing, then we can say it's the pastor. But if some people are growing and some people are not, then maybe it's me. Amen? You have to take responsibility for your own life. So how can I be effective? As I continue to grow in the word of God, as I continue to grow in my relationship with God, things start to fall off. Another thing is it helps me shift my focus from self to the kingdom mandate. At the end of the day, it's not about you and I. I hope you have figured that out right now. Because how many people want to live up to 300 years old here? Okay, right. I see one hand. At some point, if Jesus tarries, you and I would pass to glory. And the earth will continue. So it tells me that I have a window to do certain things. So it's not about just you. There's a bigger purpose, which is God's agenda. And the moment you and I align to that, the better it is for you and I. Amen? That's why he created us. Imagine driving your car, your car is telling you, maybe a Tesla. I've not driven a Tesla before, but maybe that can happen. But imagine you're driving your car is saying, no, I'm going left. And you say, I'm turning right. You say, no, I'm going left. Something is going to have to give. You will just park the car and leave it there. And you get another car and you go where you're going. My point? It's not about you and I. We are vessels for God to use. So the more effective I am, the more he can channel certain things through me. That's the reality. the more effective I am, the more he can channel certain things through me. And then the last reason we need to be effective is what? To fulfill the Great Commission. Sometimes your lifestyle is a testimony in itself that can win people over. That's the reality. Sometimes your lifestyle is a testimony that can win people over. Excuse me. So if I'm an effective Christian, then it's easier for me to minister to people. But if I'm not as effective, now there's a part of, yeah, just go to the world and do evangelism. I get that. But I'm talking in the context of being an effective Christian here. What would those things do for me if they enhance my evangelism? Because people just look at your life and there's something that you have that is missing. And then my final, as I close, how can I add all the above to my faith? So he said we should add all these things, but how do I do it? The way to do this is just become a doer of the word. And I talked about that earlier. Just be a doer of the word. Take off the mask for a second. Because it's kind of like, okay, when I'm going to church, the moment I step in through those doors, there's like a mask that I just put on. Huh, how you doing? Hallelujah. Praise. How are you doing? Hallelujah. Two different things. Right? Take off the mask and be real. Be authentic. Be a genuine, real person. The person I see here on Sunday is the same person I see at work on Monday, is the same person I see on Friday. Is the same. Be yourself. Be authentic and live out the Christian lifestyle. Do the word of God. Whatever that is, whatever he has said in his word, and you find it, do it. Simple. Amen? That's how we can be effective Christians. We need to take responsibility for our own lives. And the way to do that is just say, look, God, whatever I found in your word, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. The day I find it, that's the day I'm going to start doing it. And that would encourage you to spend more time in his word, because you are hungry for that relationship. You are hungry for growth. You're not waiting on someone. If all you do as a Christian is listen to what a preacher is saying, and you don't take a step back and read the word of God, it's going to be very frustrating. Because you start to hear things, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. Then you'll be like, okay, so what can I do? Read it from the word. Right? Christianity is a relationship with God. It's not about rules, do's, and don'ts. No, it's not about that at all. It's simply my relationship with God. Amen? That is exactly how we can be effective Christians. I always like to close, if possible, with just asking people to stand up and just say a word of prayer.